Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Locked and loaded. I'm going to have to come up with a new name for the show. But I don't think I could insert the two things that I am into the title. It might frighten a few lovely listeners away. So we're going to stick with locked and loaded for now. Yes, I'm a little bit exasperated today. I must admit, I feel a little bit angsty. I feel a little bit anxious. I feel like I'm looking over my shoulder and, you know, I'm on edge. I'm sorry to say, but I'm on edge. And yeah, not in a bad way. You know, my guard's up. I'm on point. But I can get a little bit reckless with my words. But anyway, let's hope I can keep my powder dry for another 2 hours until I get offline. And then I can go and rant to someone close by rather than the people listening to the show. Kevin Lockery was very kind to join me this morning. He and I had a little back and forth about politics and my views and his views. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. Later on in the show, I'm going to be joined by David Nolan from Stop Common Pass in the UK, where we're going to be shining a light on a campaign that seems to have taken on legs and ran away in the UK called Don't Pay, and another campaign called Enough is Enough. These campaigns are just flying up like weeds in the garden overnight. One minute they're not there, the next minute they're there, and everybody's talking about them. Very strange. And listen, I got a new iPad yesterday. Haven't a male one, literally is dead. Lasted like 9 years. Got a new iPad, booted it up. And what came up on my instant Apple news notification? No joke, Don't Pay UK gains traction. So it even popped up on my new iPad. But anyway, we're going to get into that in the third and final hour. My next guest is, well, she's looking very sinister, I must admit. She's kind of like a vampire-esque vibe going on. Maybe she's broadcasting from some vault in Transylvania. I don't know. Or a coffin. I don't know. But it looks very, very disturbing, actually. But we'll get into that in more detail in a minute when I give you a little breakdown of more horror, actually, of what's happening in the news. Ireland is heavily reliant on gas. This is coming out this morning. Ireland is more heavily reliant on gas. We're sixth most reliant in the EU, 15th in the world. We have zero gas storage capacity. So Ireland has absolutely no capacity to store gas. All 14 countries above us are more reliant than us, have over 100 days of storage. Our ministers and government have no foresight. We're sleepwalking into an energy crisis. We are not sleepwalking into it. We are being driven into it. We are being railroaded into it. It is controlled demolition. Ireland is a globalist state, as per right now, run by globalist puppets. This is all by design. We're not being sleepwalked. We're not sleepwalking. We're being railroaded, all right? We're on the carts and we're being driven down the track to hell. Let's go to Venezuela. President Nicolas Maduro, I think I've said it right, Nicolas Maduro, said, write this down, 6:24 p.m. on August 10th, 2022, Venezuela is going to become a food-producing and exporting power. You will see it, and we will no longer be dependent on oil or anything or anyone. There's a big shift going on at the minute. The old guard are being slowly ousted and weakened. The like of America, they're no longer the world's dominant superpower. They're a joke. Other people are rising up. Venezuela is getting very ballsy on it. They're telling us how it is, and good for them. If their energy is sufficient and food sufficient and won't be told what to do, I give Venezuela a big salute. Senator Ted Cruz is telling us that Biden is depleting America's strategic petroleum reserve. The U.S. now has the lowest amount of oil in our emergency stockpile since 1985. 95, 05, 15. My old gray matter's not firing very well today. That makes 37 years if my mathematics is correct. So America's strategic petroleum reserve is at a 37-year low. This is how much our reserves have fallen. And then there's a graph. And if you can picture something being level and then dropping off the end of a cliff, that's where America's gas reserves are at, or oil reserves. And remember, Ireland doesn't even have any. In fact, there's maybe a gas bottle somewhere behind Parliament building with about 40 cubic meters of gas in it. That's our reserve. Ireland, what happened, eh? What happened? FBI ordered security cameras at Mar-a-Lago to be shut off as they conducted their raid. sounds a little bit like when Epstein topped himself, doesn't it? Security cameras, oh, malfunction. Tape, oh, no, it's not there. But anyway, that's all by the by. Well, I'm sure we're going to dig into this in more detail with my next guest before she takes the stand and pledges to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help her God. I have to say this. Why not give TNT Radio a follow? And, you know, if you've been listening over the last 64 minutes and you've got a nervous disposition, I don't blame you for not wanting to follow TNT Radio, but I have to encourage you to follow us. We're on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. So please help us to get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time and the smallest ones too, because we can't forget about the little topics, only on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Delivering the facts.
Source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nicola Charles is back in the house, as it were, the metaphorical TNT Towers. Nicola, how are you?
I'm not bad. How are you, Rick?
Well, I'm all right. I'm exasperated. I need a little bit of a calm down here in the nicest possible way. So I'm hoping you're going to just be chilled and you're not going to be worked up about anything and you're not going to trigger me about anything. How are you doing?
Who's upset you, Rick? Why are you feeling like this?
Oh, hell's bells. Where do I start? I literally, there's a list, Nicola. There's a list. You're not on it. There's a lot of nice people are not on it. But let me tell you this. Sometimes you ever get the feeling you just walk through the world and you just want to slap everyone? Is that wrong? Yeah. Is that a mental disorder I have, or is that just, it's getting to me?
I just feel like I want to sort of grab them by the shoulders and give them a shake and ask them why they're so blind, what's going on, why can't they see? But it's, it's really worrying. You know, I said that today in a clip as well, that with all this sudden adult death syndrome and all these young people dying, why is there no outrage? There's far more death from this stuff than there was from, you know, the big, you know, C word that we were all so terrified of, and all the newsreels in Australia saying, oh my goodness, no way. You know, it was only actually 10% of those people that died from COVID. Everyone else died of something else. And then in the next breath, they're like, oh, a new COVID vaccination clinic just opened up. Off you go, roll up your sleeve.
Yeah, I know. They say this, the last 2 years was pretty much an intelligence test and a lot of people have failed it. I'm not talking about academia or qualifications or getting your little piece of paper to say that you've memorized the curriculum that the government have decided that you need to memorize to validate you as a societal person and give you a future, give you a job, give you a 9-to-5, etc. No, I'm talking about so-called intelligent people who are still clinging on to the myth and the lie. I heard someone yesterday saying, oh, the weather's fantastic, but I'm still inside. I've got a temperature. I've got COVID for the third time this year. The old double and triple vaxxed. And it's like, I thought the vaccines were effective. And it's, oh, no, but I could have been so much worse if I hadn't had it. And it's like, are you still clinging on to that lie? Walking down the street, driving instructor, masked up. It's fucking hot here today for a change. Suffocating themselves. What other animal suffocates itself and suffocates its children, Nicola? Come on, we're supposed to be the top of the food pyramid here. Sometimes I look at chimpanzees and cats and plankton and think they've got more intelligence than the humans.
Well, yes, because we're just quite cruel and evil, aren't we, as a species? I mean, a friend of mine in the US military has told me that, bad as we think this has been, this pandemic, if you wish to call it that, over the last couple of years, this was actually just the drill. So I dread to think. It does feel like they're bearing down. You know, they're bearing down now. There's no giving up on this. And they will literally sit there, stand there. They will put out these clips and these messages that we all know are just complete falsehoods. And they're living in this fake it till you make it world, you know, and I believe they faked up the illnesses and it was all for a reason. And if this was the drill and it's getting worse, I just see mass social disorder on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Sadly, I'm sad to say that until 2 years ago, I never really used social media. All right. I never used Twitter. I've never had a Facebook account and won't have one. However, one thing that I'm realizing is that you are subjected to a diet of really disturbing images and clips and things. And, you know, when you see something, you can't unsee it. All right. And I'm not one of, you know, in the past, if you wanted to watch, you could go and see someone being beheaded. If you went onto the dark web and you dug deep enough, you don't have to go on there anymore. You can go on to, I saw a clip this morning on Twitter of some dude in Canada getting chopped up by three attackers with machetes and axes on his driveway. And I mean, that's par for the course. I seen a clip the other day of a kid, this has nothing to do with the world, but a kid being killed by a sheep, just being rammed to death by a sheep and screaming because the family sees it. I don't want to see that stuff. I'm seeing people abusing animals. I seen a video the other day of some guy beating up a donkey. And I'm not joking you, right? I'm not joking you. I would have happily got onto a plane with a machete if I could have and just chopped them into pieces. The depths of which people can sink, I'm struggling to really comprehend it. This is the state that we're in at the minute. And actually, let me link it in. Let me link it into something that you were broadcasting recently. You have a podcast. Sorry, I'm hyperventilating here. You have a podcast on Spotify called The White Rabbit, all right? And you've had various accounts on Twitter, and I'm not even going to tell you what the newest one is in case it gets blitzed as well, but you have a podcast on Twitter called The White Rabbit, on Spotify called The White Rabbit, and you have little 30-minute riffs about things that are on your mind. So one of the things you did recently was It's in the Water, but you also said about godliness is so last century, all right? And whether or not you're religious or not, or whatever your faith is, listen, we are in a godless society, and boy, oh boy, are we paying the price. What do you think about that?
Well, all of this, you know, you talk about the horror that you can see on social media and, you know, people and animals getting hurt. This has been really predominantly the reason for Hollywood. And, you know, I've been an actress my entire life. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, you remember movies like Hostel and Psycho and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. They've actually been conditioning us to be quite violent, to be quite mm-hmm. aggressive and hurt each other physically for a very, very long time. Because what they want is the degradation of our society. They want us down here, the little people, to be a mess, to turn on each other. Let's face it, they did it with the race riots in the US in 2019 and 2020. And it is biblical. It's turn man against his brother mm-hmm. because there was no problem. And this is the problem I have now as a mother of a gay child. I have a problem with all this. Oh, my God, you're all so homophobic. But the government is going to step in and the police will wear rainbow flags and politicians march in pride marches and we're going to hang flags outside embassies. Well, you know what? We were dancing and walking at Pride and Mardi Gras in Australia in the 90s. So don't turn around and say that the public are homophobic. My belief is that they have fully lulled the gay community into a false sense of security. They've made them think, this is your time. This is your time to shine and we're right behind you. And then what do? Please line up for your monkeypox jab because guess what? We want to protect you because you're vulnerable. And, you know, honestly, it gives me chills. I was a history major, and I honestly feel at this point that we are living through the Holocaust Part 2. And, you know, you talk about sleepwalking into it. I think even 2 years down, we're all just still in shock. We cannot believe this is real, but it is real. And that's what they need to wake up and understand.
Yeah, and I agree. And a year ago-ish, people started to make comparisons with the Holocaust and what's happening now. Obviously, they're two completely separate events, but the mechanics and the genesis and the progression is the same, to the point where we now have Holocaust survivors who are testifying to say this is how it began in 1930s Germany. So forget about you and I. We weren't around whenever Hitler was doing his thing. We weren't around in the 1930s, but there are survivors of the Holocaust who are testifying on world stages now to say, listen, we're seeing the same things happening, the same mindsets coming to the fore as we did back then. And look at how much things have progressed even in the last 12 months, and not for the better, I might add. So yeah, we have to bear that in mind. And, you know, this is different, but in principle, the mechanics are the same. The othering of people, the vilifying of certain groups. You mentioned the gay community were given this idea that all of a sudden, yes, it's their time, but then the monkeypox thing. And I have a doctor that comes on here regularly, Dr. Kevin Corbett, who's a gay man, and we've talked about this. And he worked in the first AIDS clinic in England back in the 1980s. He's done all his research in AIDS and all that sort of thing, and HIV and what happened and the way it was treated and the way that it was presented. And he said, Rick, the parallels are exactly the same. It's demonizing gay men. And even, you know, the NHS, if you go into the NHS, it'll tell you that, yeah, we are concerned that this is something that is being spread by men who sleep with men, maybe some bisexuals at these super spreader events, which just so happened to be Pride Festival. So I hear what you're saying, and I concur with what you're saying there. We've got to take a real super fast break. And when we come back, actually, I want to backpedal on something that you said about conditioning from an early age concerning violence. A couple of things have cropped into my mind that have been eating at me for a while. I'll throw them into the ring and you can bat them back when we come back after this very short break here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
Give us an update from the Netherlands, and then if you wanted to touch as well on the worldwide news that we've seen about the farmers uprising in the Netherlands in the last few weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, we are now in the spotlight of the world, so to say. The farmer uprising is carrying on, and it's been carrying on now for 6 weeks, I believe, and they're not slowing down. It is coming head to head. We see a lot of extreme framing, a lot of undercover police trying to incite violence, trying to start fires on the highway and blame the farmers for it. And what is so magnificent about this uprising is that they have a huge public support, and they were talking about 70 to 80% of the whole Dutch population standing behind the farmers.
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
We need a recalibration of government. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Nicola Charles and I are deep in conversation concerning all sorts of shenanigans and skullduggery. You mentioned conditioning from an early age, Hollywood movies going right the way back to Psycho, black and white, Janet Leigh's in the shower, shower curtains back. Then we see the blood going down the plug hole. That was the beginning of it. We couldn't see anything too graphic back then, but it was implied violence against this lady who just so happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, good old Bates Motel. And then it's progressed from that point. Things have become more bloody. Things have become more violent to the point whereby you could argue that there are literally torture pornography movies being pumped out by Hollywood, and people are going to see them and eating popcorn while they're watching them, okay, with their boyfriend or girlfriend. It's like a night of, hey, what do you want to do tonight? I know, let's go watch some torture and let's buy some popcorn and have some Coca-Cola. That's the way we've been conditioned. Kids, think about Tom and Jerry, right? Think about Tom and Jerry. What did they do? They were always bashing each over the head with cast iron frying pans and electrocuting each other. Violence was actually a big part of cartoons. Most cartoons I remember growing up were actually very violent, but they were done in a fluffy, kiddie way. Look at wrestling, right? This WWE, WWF, which I can't abide anyway, but kids love it. And what are they seeing? They're seeing two women beating the pelt out of each other, pulling their hair, smashing themselves with chairs. And okay, it's scripted. You know that. I know that. We're adults. But the kids think it's real. And then what do you see? I go into places sometimes and see kids thinking they're the Undertaker. They're lifting their little sisters up upside down and trying to drop them on the tops of their heads and do a pile driver on them, or jumping off the sofa with, you know, trying to injure each other because they're seeing their heroes doing this. Is this not something, oh my Lord, how far down the old rabbit hole have we went with this one in terms of corrupting our children's minds?
Yeah, and I think this is why as well that we turn telephones, which were perfectly adequate before, texting was adequate, emails were adequate. I absolutely loved my BlackBerry. It was like a little computer. I thought it was great. But what we've done now with smartphones is we've put little televisions into essentially children's hands. You know, childhood has shrunk to the age of about 6 or 7 or 8, because after that they get hold of a phone. And you even see these toddlers sometimes, 18 months old, 2 years old, and they're sitting in their stroller, in their pram, holding their mom's phone, like playing Tetris or looking at something. And they're indoctrinating them earlier and earlier. And what happens then? You've got children, mine included, who go to school at 9, 10, 11, and everyone's passing a phone around and they're watching Pornhub. So childhood is absolutely disappearing. And you might think, oh, well, you know, that's entertainment, that's media, that's Hollywood, that's movies. Not really, because when you look very closely at the, for instance, the family court system here, the Federal Circuit Court, you can have a lot of domestic violence cases where one partner or the other, male or female, has got a list as long as your arm of violence against their partner or against their children. And what does the family court do? They say, oh, no, it's fine. They can spend 50-50 time with that parent. It's almost like they want stuff to happen. We've got parents in Australia in custody disputes dropping their babies off the side of dams on Facebook Live just to get to their ex. And this is all stuff that isn't caught in the justice system. It isn't caught in the family court. It's being perpetuated on these little televisions that they hold in their hands, and they can see pornography and violence, and that's exactly what they get. And I believe it's because this is something I'm not proud of as a species. A human species has gone to pot, in my opinion. But you know the way humans will stand around and watch sort of dog fights and chicken cock fights and all that? Well, I think that's essentially what these parasites that call themselves elites are doing. They're watching us and they want us to attack each other. They're putting us on two sides against each other, whether it's gay or straight or black or white or jabbed or unjabbed. You know, they just want us kicking the shit out of each other, basically, because while we're doing that, we're not focusing on them stealing everything from us. And just on what you were saying at the head about the fuel and no storage and all that, everything in this world, in all of our countries, is exactly the same as it was before. The reserves are not down. We're not running out of fuel. It's all a lie. It's all to create anxiety in society, is my opinion.
I agree. And, you know, as you were talking about the mobiles and the how they've evolved, I remember getting my first mobile back, and you probably remember yours too, back in 1998. I got my first mobile in 1998, March 1998, and it was a BT CellNet mobile. It was like a brick with a screw-on antenna. And I remember you could send text messages on it, and it had three ringtones. It either went beep, or it went beep, beep, or it went beep, beep, beep. And I thought it was like space-age technology. And I remember actually the guy in the shop who sold it to me, and my mobile phone number has never changed. I've kept the same mobile phone number for like 25 years. I asked him, he said, this thing, you can send text messages. And I said, I remember it well. I said, what's the point in that? If I want to talk to you, I'll phone you. Why would I send you a text message? And now it's the inverse. It's like, why would I phone you, when I can text you or send you a WhatsApp message or a meme on the phone. And these things are pacifiers to children, Nicola, and I'm seeing it. I go out, I walk about, and I can't go into the world. By the way, my survival tip to you and everyone listening, never go outside without headphones, okay? You need headphones. So if you want to go for a coffee, don't even think about going into a coffee shop without headphones, okay? Or in the shopping mall, headphones. Why? To blur out the hell that's out there. And kids are being given these mobiles as pacifiers, let me just say. And you see the description that you gave? Here's what I came into my head. They are portals to hell.
Yes.
They are portals yes.
They
to
are
hell.
Portals You've to hell.
And, portals to hell.
And on the text message thing, Rick, look, think about it. This is such a long plan, and that's what's so awful and devious and malevolent about it. The text message, it was the beginning of sort of COVID restrictions, right? You don't need to talk to each other. You don't need to have relationships. You don't need to have a support group. You could just get a little message. You could just get a little update. Right. And it's all of this, you know, it's like in Aldi, right? 1.5 meters apart. And there was always the guy talking to you. We recommend we in the government. That used to freak me out in the shops here. I remember shopping in Coles and there would be messages still now. Coles and the government believe that you should do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, when have these corporate entities on their little corporate entity radio stations been aligning themselves with the government? It's all happened so suddenly and so creepily. And I'm so annoyed, because if it was about digital IDs and all that stuff, then they could have just sat down and spoken to us like adults and said, there's too many of you, we can't keep track, we need to do X, Y, and Z, you know, help us out, come on board. Instead, everything they've done is so violent and so cruel and so brutal. And they seem to have absolutely no conscience about it. None.
None. You know what? We're going to take a quick, like a literally a 30 second pause for a quick news flash here. When we come back, I want to confess some things. I want to hold my own hands up, because sometimes when we talk or when I talk, it's like I'm throwing rocks at people. But I'm also guilty of perpetrating some of these and enabling these things to come to pass myself. So maybe I'm going to have a little bit of a real, maybe that's why I'm so angry this morning. I'm angry at myself because I'm actually part of the problem as well as trying to come up with some solutions. But anyway, confession time from Rick Munn will be coming up after this very brief news break here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Darren Metzer here with a quick check of the day's headlines. Just 48 hours after the FBI raided his home in Florida, former U.S. President Donald Trump has invoked his Fifth Amendment rights and refused to answer questions during a separate civil investigation into his family's business dealings. China says it has completed its military drills around Taiwan, but has vowed to step up patrols of the island. And Beijing has called out Washington for being the main instigator of the war in Ukraine and accused the U.S. of setting out to crush Russia.
Did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device?
Or download our app from the App Store.
We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Yeah, this whole business of technology, all right, let's touch on it again real brief. We're zoning in on kids here, by the way, about how they're being corrupted. But there's the other side of the spectrum who are being corrupted later in life when they've passed all the corruption that kids are getting now, which is the old folk. All right, so I'm seeing more and more oldies, old grannies and old grandas that are glued to their mobile phones, and heaven only knows what they're watching, because, you know, who knows, they're getting corrupted in some way or distracted in some way, shape or form. And yesterday, and I mean, like, this shouldn't bother me, but yesterday I go to this place in the morning, have a coffee, and yesterday morning there was an older couple in there. I was the only customer in at that time, and they were in before me, and they were sitting at a table opposite each other. It was a block of four, but they were sitting diagonally opposite each other. They were a couple, and they both had a laptop open with their earphones in and a big massive mug of coffee each. And I shouldn't have been preoccupied with them, but I was watching them and hoping and praying that maybe they would even say hello to each other, exchange words. It didn't happen for a good hour. They just sat and ignored each other for an hour. And you see, when they finished, I watched them. They closed their computers at the same time. They packed up and they walked out together without even exchanging a word. Is that any kind of way to live? Is it?
You know, they say the best relationships are when you can be absolutely silent with each other, Rick. So maybe they just have a great relationship.
Oh, come on. But this is beyond, this is not being silent. This is being out of, in another universe, in another alternate reality. This is terrible, Nicola. I mean, I like my space. Let me be brutally honest. I like my space. I'm a bit of a loner. People annoy me. I annoy people. So sometimes I have to distance. But if I go out with my wife for a coffee and I stick my earphones in and I stick my nose in my phone, I'll get a slap. Deservedly, I'll get a slap, or the coffee will be all over me. Is that not fair enough?
I have to say, I do like a bit of conversation and a good catch up, you know, when you go out with your partner, but not everyone does. I mean, if we go out to the local pubs around here, they call them hotels in Australia, and we see the same thing. You know, people will sit there munching on bread and they look guiltily around the room and they're sitting opposite each other. They're clearly a couple and they don't say anything, and 5 minutes will go by and 10 minutes will go by, and I'll actually start to feel really uncomfortable. I'll start to feel like, oh my God, you know, I just don't know where to look, because it's at like critical mass in their relationship. And then something will happen, a wine will be delivered to the table, or maybe the main course, I don't know. And suddenly they'll start talking to each other, and I think, how strange that there was that enormous amount of time where you were just not knowing really where to look or what to say. I find that very odd. I really do.
It's bizarre. And that's what I mean. It's not just kids that are in their zones. It's middle-aged people. It's people, you know, males, females. It's old couples. It's wee grannies. It's wee grandas. This technology, this portal to hell is not just open for children. It's open for teenagers, it's open for young adults, it's open for middle-aged people, it's open for older people. And you know what? When I think about it, I spend too much time online. I preach all the time, spend less time online. And I have cut it down, but it's still too much. And let me
Please
tell
don't
you this,
stop
it is
preaching,
not
Rick. Good.
Oh. But I'm telling you, I need to practice more what I'm preaching, because there are positives. You can reach people, get a message out. But you see, when you've reached them and got your message out, I think you should be off there. There should be some kind of kill switch on that phone to say, right, I have 30 minutes a day, maximum 1 hour a day. And then if I don't walk 10,000 steps, I can't access my social media account. I'm into that sort of, I would be up for some of the CCP social credit score stuff. It's like, okay, Nicola, you can't get on your Facebook until you do 10,000 steps. Good, because it'll get you out, it'll get you fresh, and it'll keep your head together. There's a little bit of communist in me, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the CCP stuff, I like it. See, this whole business, if you've got a noisy neighbor, okay, there's three ways of dealing with it, right? You can phone the police, nothing will happen. You can contact your local thugs, slip them a few pounds and they'll break their legs. Or you could go to the CCP and report them and they will be docked on their social credit score. Some of it I like.
Oh, no, you're a dobber, Rick. You're a dobber. That's no good. No, I'm very anti the Chinese social credit score. But listen, social media.
I'm joking, by the way.
I know. Social media and this stuff is a double-edged sword, right? Because you and I would never have met. We would never have met. I wouldn't have met the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of amazing people, particularly being on television and then going onto social media without it. I sort of think they knew that, though. I sort of think that was part of the design. It's going to be very, very hard for us to live without it. But, you know, if these little devices in our hands, which constantly need updating and constantly need, you know, updates and upgrades, we don't know what they're doing to them. There's patents out there with the Rothschild name on it saying that soon when you touch the screen of your phone and go to the next screen and whatever, or text message someone, it's going to detect your heart rate, your blood oxygen, and all this stuff. There's all these systems and methods from the phone are already patented by the Rothschilds since 2015. So there's clearly a very dark reason why they exist. And I don't know in the future, you know, I'm a bit worried that we might get to a point where someone might flick a switch. And I think the day they do that and we can't talk to each other anymore, I think it's going to be very difficult. Yeah, it's going to be very, very hard.
And I concur, by the way, I wouldn't be doing this, what I'm doing today, if it wasn't for the internet. If it wasn't for Twitter, I wouldn't have got this gig, strangely enough. And in fact, if it wasn't for Neighbours, of which you were strangely a part, the first ever video I did that got me into Mike Rand's radar was I was talking about Kelly and Jason have been replaced by Hitler and Goebbels in Australia. That was my very first little video clip that kind of landed me doing what I'm doing now. So I agree with what you're saying 100%. The problem is moderation. And I think we're all addicts. We're all sort of social media, online addicts to a degree. Like, I don't have a problem with alcohol. Some people do. I have my own demons that I wrestle with. I have my skeletons, but alcohol isn't one of them. But you tell an alcoholic to go to the bar and have one drink, they can't. They have to keep drinking. They don't want to do it, but they're compelled and they do it. I don't have a problem with that, but I have other issues, things that I wrestle with, you know, controlling myself in certain ways, as we all do, as we all do. So this social media thing seems to be the one thing that very few people can genuinely keep a rein on it, on the whole, I'm talking about. Obviously, some people can. And I think, as you said, we've become so dependent on it, it's almost like crack. So when it's stopped, you'll go into cold turkey, you'll start climbing the walls. And how the hell are people going to connect all of a sudden? I'll be out of a job for a start. I won't be able to do my work. I'll be back on the brew.
Me too, essentially. But I think it was very clever. It was definitely planned by a whole host of psychologists because, yes, people are addicted to it. But also the data that's collected about who we are and what floats our boat. And you know, there's new research showing that from Facebook, it was all about the release of dopamine in the brain. Okay, so these likes and these loves and these comments on posts are basically causing that little puffer in the brain to release dopamine. And this is how they collected the data on what we would be most likely to believe, to be defrauded on. I mean, Facebook essentially was the tool they used to create the biggest confidence trick in history, in my opinion. And it's bait and switch. You know, you're Mr. Nice Guy 1 minute and then you're censoring someone the next. Well, you can play that game and you can post your puppies and say how much you love your kids. And, you know, I just have the best looking kids in the whole world and please give me lots of likes. But how dare you say anything anti-government or that nothing makes sense in the pandemic? You're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that too, by the way. And I mean, like, you know, you've felt the brunt of this with your various accounts. You build them up and then bang, they're gone. You build them up, bang, they're gone. And there is no real recourse. So even if they were out of order and even if they shouldn't have done it, they can still say, look, it's our platform, somewhere buried deep in the terms and conditions. You agreed to this, so that's all there is to it. And then people go to the effort of getting a different IP and maybe a different SIM card and they build it all up again and then they get knocked down. And I think that's part of the breaking process mentally. Some people really value their accounts and understandably if they put a lot of time and effort in. So it's the old Sisyphus thing, you know, you're pushing the stone to the top of the hill and it takes you forever. And then when you get it to the top, it rolls back to the ground and you have to go down. And it's this perpetual building up and rolling back and building up and rolling back. And effectively you get nowhere and your mental energy is expended. You get demoralized. You say to hell with this. And then you just piss off completely. And I think that's what they want to do. They want to just break us all down, wear us all down, have us mentally lazy, spiritually lazy, physically lazy, and just completely demoralized and dependent on whatever they set in front of us to sustain us. And sadly, I can see it going that way. And as I said, I'm guilty. I'm part of this problem too, but I'm working on it, Nicola. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress.
But I think as well, what's worrying is that part of this whole psyop with social media was making people feel very rewarded in the reward centers of their brain for doing the right thing, you know, doing it for other people, caring about society. Virtue signaling is what us conservatives tend to call it. And my concern, my great concern, is that social media and that kind of psyop contributed greatly to people potentially sort of becoming part of a clinical trial, let's say, because they wanted the feeling of publicly and on social media doing the right thing outweighed their concerns about their own health risks. And that is really creepy. It's so layered. You know, they say they were thinking about this for the last 50 and 60 years and the planning is long. And I believe that because a lot of business people that I work with, they have gone to great lengths over long periods of time in the planning. They always say it's all in the planning, but we have to find the nook, the cranny. We have to break it. We have to break this cycle. Otherwise, it's going to end up in a very dark place.
Break the cycle. Yes, that's a strategy we need to work on because it is a cycle. You know, it's a cycle of ups and downs and rounds and rounds. And, you know, at the end of the day, what does, you know, a circle, you just keep going. You don't actually get anywhere. You just expend a lot of energy and you don't actually move forward. We need to change it from a circle to a straight line. And at least that way we'll be going somewhere. A little bit of philosophy there, a little bit of, I don't know what, some Eastern thinking. I don't know what it is, or I'm just talking crap. I don't know. But we've got to talk. We've got to take a quick ad break. I'm talking some serious crap today, and I make no apologies for it. We've got to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's think about nice things, okay? If you can think of something nice to talk about for the last 10 minutes, please chuck it in the ring, or else I'll do it, and you don't want that. So anyway, this is TNT Radio. I'm Rick Munn. That's Nicola Charles. We'll be back in 2 minutes on Locked and Loaded. Please don't go away.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look, TNT listeners, the rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think, you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the East Coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the Eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT. Asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
COVID is obedience training. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
As the ads were playing, I was trying to clear my mind. And as my mind cleared, two words came to me, okay? One of them was Pelosi, and the other one was Nancy. What do you think about Nancy Pelosi, Nicola?
Oh, gosh, you know what I think about Nancy Pelosi? Nancy Pelosi stood there in an interview with, I think it was CNN, and she said that China is one of the freest, most democratic nations on earth, Rick. What do you think about that comment? Do you think someone's making bank from China?
Oh, Nancy. Listen, lover or hater, you got to admit that doll has her head screwed on. She may be a decrepit old duffer, but listen, she knows how to do insider trading. She knows how to dodge bullets left, right, and center. Lover or hater, Nancy knows how to be corrupt, and boy, does she do it well. If she actually wrote a manual on corruption, I would buy it myself, you know, and think about seriously turning down a life of crime. What better teacher than Nancy Pelosi?
And she does it drunk as well, Rick.
She's pissed as a fart. So she has all the time. I think I actually said this. This is a horrible thought, but Nancy Pelosi's kind of like the offspring. If Kamala Harris and Biden were ever to come together and have a child, the child would be Nancy Pelosi. She's got that dementia of Biden and she's got that drunken stupor of Kamala Harris. She's something of a mixture of all. And you know what? How is she still in position, Nicola? You know, the insider trading that her and her husband have been doing and getting away with it, now starting to blow China's trumpet. I mean, I was doing it earlier jokingly about the CCPs or the social credit score, but Pelosi actually did stand up and say she admires them, as Justin Trudeau has done. He admires the Communist Party of China. What do you have to do these days as a politician to get removed from office? I mean, is there any way to get rid of them? You know, you do crack. You can molest children if you're Joe Biden. Oh, you can keep your job, no problem. What do you have to do to lose your job as a politician these days?
I don't know, but I don't know what's going on with China. Look, you know, right now, without any evidence, you know, I don't have anything against China. I don't have a beef with China, but I'm noticing some strange things happening globally. Like the other day, I was trying to plan some school holiday stuff. And so I went to the website Visit Victoria here in Victoria, in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the head office that was listed was in Shanghai. And I thought that was quite weird.
I was just saying, when you said you visited the Visit Victoria website, I'm getting a picture in my head of barbed wire and German shepherds and people patrolling the streets asking to be shown my papers. There's not a lot of selling points with Vic right now after the last 2 years, is there? I mean, you need to be a seriously good PR person to sell me going to Victoria. That's being honest. I'd love to go there, but not under the current climate. No way.
No, they've done it. They've done it in a very, very clever way, and it's starting to ramp up already, and that's the Commonwealth Games coming here in 2026. Mm-hmm. So they're starting
to that's their selling point.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck me. So that's another one. That's 4 years from now, because the Commonwealth Games are happening at the minute. I'm not paying them that much attention to you, except for the Baal, the openly satanic Baal worship ceremony, where they brought out this huge pseudo golden calf of which the audience bowed down and worshipped, a la the book of Genesis and the book of Samuel and et cetera, in the Old Testament. There's a lot of Old Testament in there, but unfortunately, it's not in pursuit of God. It's in worship of idols. Did you see that ceremony?
I did see it, and it was very strange because actually I've been fascinated by the stories of Baal, you know, when I was doing my history studies, and it's really awful. And I keep telling myself it's because Birmingham, you know, I did work in Birmingham for a while, has the bull ring. They do have the bull ring there, which is their big shopping center. But again, now I'm asking myself why it was called the bull ring. But you know, when I saw that ceremony, I got chills because I remember the opening ceremony at the London Olympic Games, and I remember thinking how strange it was because there was lots of sick children in giant beds, and there were nurses who were wearing face masks dancing around them. And I think this was 2012. And then in the center was this giant effigy of the Grim Reaper. And I thought, well, that's not very cheerful for the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, and I'm not sure what it represents. And now we're at the pandemic, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is the prophecy. They literally spend millions of pounds prophesizing what we're about to go through. It doesn't get any more evil than that.
It doesn't. And you know what? The choreographing as well, it wasn't just nurses in uniforms, but they were dancing around, pushing the sick children in beds as part of that whole sick routine. And of course, there were the infamous choreographed TikTok videos that were leaked out there for people to see, which I believe also is part of the whole psyop. It's to grind people's gears that are awake and say, look, some people say, oh, it's a little bit of light relief from working in the COVID wards. No, it's just predictive programming. It's been enforced, like you said, harken it all the way back to the beginning of cinema, to the Psycho, to children's cartoons. It's instilling these seeds of violence against people, violence against animals, you know, questionable medical practices, and literally people getting away with murder. And that's what we're starting to see manifesting across the world stage right now. So yeah, the 2012 Olympics, the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony and other things that are going on too. I mean, like the connections in with Old Testament Baal worship or, you know, idolatry is unreal. In fact, to be honest, you know, the only thing they haven't done, they're going to wheel someone out and sacrifice them on TV. And you know what? The crowds are going to stand up and clap. That's what's got. That's the only thing left. That's going to happen.
It's very worrying. I mean, I'm sure I'm like you, Rick, in the sense that it is one long sort of horror film that we're living through. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe it. If I'd read it in a book or I tried to write it in a book or seen it in a movie, it would give me chills. You know, it would be sort of Wicker Man-ish, where all it took mm-hmm. was a little push of some dominoes for the vast swathe of society to fall foul to this, what's happened to mm-hmm. us. And it just took a tiny push. It just took a tiny bit of mental manipulation and control. And to see, for me, I work with a lot of quite educated people who've got master's mm-hmm. degrees and 3 master's degrees, and they've fallen for this hook, line, and sinker. And it made me look again at education. And I've often wondered, I've got friends who are scientists and they work in fields that I know mm-hmm. nothing about, and I'm always very impressed, and they've got, you know, many, many master's degrees, but they're actually rubbish at life. You know, they can't make a relationship mm-hmm. work. They're not good at conversation. They're not good with money. And I think, gee, how did you become a scientist? You know, how have you got 3 master's degrees? And it's because what they do is they isolate those in academia who will toe the line, who can be a puppet, who will repeat the narrative, who will believe in the narrative wholeheartedly. And I saw a clip the other day, and it was a scientist, and he was teaching science, and he did an experiment on his own students. And he, for 2 weeks, he got them to read a book about a scientific theory that was written a long time ago and has since been proven wrong. So he got them to buy into this scientific theory. Then he took them out into the field, out into the world, and proved to them that the book that he just taught them was correct, was actually wrong, to see if they could question what they'd learned. And he said they all 100% wouldn't believe their eyes because they only believed what they'd read in the textbook. Mm-hmm. But he was showing
coming
them with
from
their
a
eyes.
Source of authority. Yeah. And that's the thing. What is it in 1984? Orwell writes that the last thing that was to happen was that people were told to reject the evidence of their eyes and their ears and accept only that which the party put before them. And it's back to that, you know, psychological, people will generally do what they're told or believe what they're told. If someone's wearing a uniform or they're in a position of authority, like this is an expert, she's a professor, he has an honors degree in this, he's been doing this for a long time, they're in government. So it's like, I must take them seriously. On the whole, that's the problem, is that people have been duped by the so-called authority figures or even their local doctors. I mean, there was a guy on the other day from Australia, and people are saying, oh, he's come out and he's admitted he was wrong and he did it for money and he should have spoke up. That's okay. But the guy admitted, while I was injecting people and causing harm, I was thinking about my own personal finances first and foremost. I'm sorry, but there's nothing to be applauded about that, all right? That was on Australian news. I can't remember the guy. If I find a clip, I'll send it through to you. It's only a few days ago. He said, look, I know I was wrong. I should have spoke up. I was afraid. My colleagues were afraid. I was afraid of this. I was afraid I would lose my job. I was afraid I would be bankrupted. So I kept it going. And people are saying, well, it's better late than never. And at least he came out and he said sorry. That's not much good to you if your daughter's dead or if you've got you know, an autoimmune condition for the rest of your life. I'm sorry, but that apology doesn't wash. It's do no harm is the first tenet of the Hippocratic Oath, not do yourself right when it comes to your finances and your family's job security and worry about the patient after that. Listen, things are just on their head, Nicola. There's just inversion left, right, and center. And yep, reaping what you were sowing, this godless society that we're in, my, oh boy, are we reaping.
But it's
we're
not
reaping
just
now.
It's not just doctors, no. Is it? They're all lined up. It's the educators. It's the media. You know, there are people that say to me, well, it must be right. I saw it on the news. And I just sit there absolutely gobsmacked. And I say to them, they could put anything on the news. I honestly believe if they told people that COVID hovered at 7 feet and you're going to crawl on your hands and knees for the rest of your life and you'll be fine, half of society would do it because they tell them, don't believe your lying eyes. You know, you don't stand next to anyone with monkeypox, but everyone fears they're going to get monkeypox now. It's just hideous. And there's two traits now that have been proven to be dominant in human beings, and that's weak and greedy. And it just makes me feel so disgusted in the species. But then I think about the people like us that try to save people, try to get the truth out there, try to keep their head while all those around them are losing theirs. It's a, and it's why you say you get frustrated and you feel like you're going off the edge of a cliff, because it's sort of designed to do that to us. And what we have to bring is that strength that we don't let it do that to us.
Very wise words, actually. And yeah, I take them on board. And you know what? We all have moments. Let's not be, let's not pretend to be something we're not. We're not perfect ourselves. We have our ups and our downs. We have our moments of despondency, moments we feel like we could fight lions with our bare hands. But listen, that's part of this process. You have to keep your emotions in check. And it's good to blow off a little bit of steam, actually. It's healthy to blow off a little bit of steam, but we can't get reckless and we can't go off at the deep end completely, because if we do, then we go into La La Land, and that's not a good place to be either. La La Land, it sounds quite nice, actually. Maybe that's what they should rename Victoria. Welcome to La La Land, and this is your host for the day, Dan Andrews. But anyway, listen, we're up to time. Believe it or not, the hour has flown in, as it always does. I appreciate you taking time out of your evening to talk to me and with me and listen and interject here on TNT Radio. That is Nicola Charles Dursay, and I hope she'll be back again in a few weeks' time. But check her out predominantly on Spotify. Search The White Rabbit. She does little great 30-minute blasts of information and riffs on what she thinks is going on in the world. Check her out on Spotify. Nicola, thank you very much. Listeners, stay tuned. There's more in the way from Mr. David Nolan from Stop Common Pass here on TNT Radio. We'll be right back after the news. Don't go away.